to Gale on KGNU Community Radio.
As down the glen, one Easter morn, to a city fair rode I. There are lines of marching men and squadrons passed me by. No pipe did hum, no battle drum, it sang its loud tattoo. Cold North Sea. But had they died by Pearson's sight, or fought with Cahal Brough, their names we'd keep where the Fenians the shroud of the foggy dew. Right proudly high over Dublin town, they hung out the flag of war. 'Twas better to die neath an Irish sky, and it's so warm, so down. And from the plains of Royal Meath, brave men came hurrying through, while Britannia's hung their long neck bones, sailing through the foggy dew. But the bravest fell, and the requiem bell rang more. Those who had died that Easter time and the springtime of the year, while the world did give with deep amaze at those fearless men, but few. Freedom's light might shine through the foggy dew.
Too long a sacrifice can make a stone of the heart. Oh, when may it suffice? That is heaven's part. Our part, to murmur name upon name, as a mother names her child when sleep at last has come on limbs that had run wild. What is it but nightfall? No, no, not night, but death. Was it needless death after all? For England may keep faith for all that is done and said. We know their dream, enough to know they dreamed and are dead. And what if excess of love bewildered them till they died? I write it out in a verse, MacDonagh and MacBride and Connolly and Pierce, now and in time to be, wherever green is worn, are changed, changed utterly. A terrible beauty is born. Arthur Griffith's Sinn Féin was originally a non-violent organisation whose most controversial action was opposition to conscription during World War I. Following the 1916 rising, the Crown authorities, who still hadn't recognised the IRB role, mistakenly blamed Sinn Féin for the whole affair, although they had not been involved. Michael Collins and Cathal Brewer realised the popular support this could give them, and during 1917 they reorganised Sinn Féin as a political party with De Valera as president and a platform of national independence. In the general election following the end of the Great War, 73 Sinn Féin members were elected. In January, they issued the Declaration of Independence and 2 days later constituted themselves as the new government, Dáil Éireann. On the same day, a Sinn Féin planned ambush in County Tipperary was the first action of the War of Independence. A volunteer force of some 2,000 under Collins now commenced a campaign of guerrilla warfare against the army and the police force, the Royal Irish Constabulary, or RIC. With the introduction of an oath of allegiance to the Dáil in August 1919, the volunteers changed their name to the Irish Republican Army, or IRA. A month later, they carried out the first official IRA action at Fermoy in County Cork, led by Liam Lynch, thought of by many as the real chief. Over the following months, the RIC, an armed semi-military police force and main source of much Crown intelligence, became the IRA's prime target. When RIC enlistments subsequently declined, the British recruited as reinforcements a force of auxiliaries and black and tans whose declared aim was to make Ireland a hell for rebels to live in. The Black and Tans were so called because they wore a combination of dark RIC tunics with khaki army trousers. In retaliation for any Irish action, they carried out reprisals of unprecedented ferocity, riding in lorry loads through country towns and villages, shooting indiscriminately at whoever they encountered. Public opinion in America, throughout the British Empire, and even in England, now became so critical of Britain's methods in Ireland that Prime Minister Lloyd George was forced to begin negotiations with the Republican government. A truce was declared in July 1921. In August, Lloyd George offered home rule, but the gesture was too little and too late and was rejected. De Valera then sent a negotiating team, including Collins and Arthur Griffith, to London to agree terms for a treaty. Hard-fought bargaining continued until December, when Lloyd George presented an ultimatum to sign a treaty making the 26 counties a free state, but keeping the northern 6 counties in the UK, or resume war within 3 days. The treaty was carried by a vote of 4-3. Collins voted in favour, but only because he knew the IRA could not fight on and because he hoped the treaty's terms would be temporary, allowing freedom to achieve greater freedom, as he put it. Although De Valera had put the negotiators in this impossible position and knew exactly why they had voted in favour, he reacted with outrage and anger and led the anti-treaty split against Collins. The civil war which followed was as nasty as such wars get, with families split as brother fought brother, and comrades who had fought the British side by side only months before now faced each other in bloody war. Collins, who commanded the pro-treaty Free Staters, and Liam Lynch, who commanded the anti-treaty Irregulars, had been the best of friends and now tried every means possible to avoid out-and-out war. Collins' death in an ambush at Bailnam Law in August 1922 resulted in a series of irregular executions. Lynch's death the following April was the last straw for the irregulars, who surrendered the next month. They marched down the street, the whole town at their side, those brave volunteers, pride of Blackwater side. Mick Fitzgerald and Liam Lynch, barely more than young boys, pledged their lives to free Éireann, whatever the price. When the first arms were captured on the Araglan raid, Fitzgerald in the lead laughed all danger away and warned, "Let the tyrant oppressor beware, when Ireland she calls, we will always be there." All praise to those men of the North Cork Brigade who showed their great courage on the Wesleyan raid, the first official action of the new IRA. Liam Lynch was the hero that historic day. But while Lynch and his car made their bold getaway, Mick Fitz and Lar Condon, the Fannings and Swain, were arrested and with murder charged the next day. Fitzgerald would never know freedom again. For now he commenced on the grim hunger strike, in which he surrendered his precious young life, as did Terence McSweeney in Brixton likewise. No man could give more than their blood sacrifice. Independence achieved. Civil war split the nation. Lynch made his HQ for Moy's garrison station. Here they fought brave and bold and drove the Brits out. But friends once were now foe. What was this about? The war took both leaders, Liam Lynch and Mick Collins, great friends, differing only on how the treaty balanced. Lynch asked to be buried with Fitzgerald the brave. Now they're laid side by side in Kilcrumper's cold clay. Out of the darkness and into the light, drained from the strain of that terrible fight, crawled a nation determined to build sure and strong a future where nothing had been for so long. De Valera then worked his deft sleight of hand and entered the Dáil where he'd sworn not to stand. If he'd worked the same ruse in 1922, war need not have taken our bravest and true.
Good evening. This is Pat here in Sholto Gael. Sholto Gael's on every Wednesday night from 7 o'clock to 8 p.m. on KGNU. On your radio dial at 88.5 FM and 1390 AM. And of course, it's streaming live all the time at KGNU.org. This is a 100-year anniversary to the Easter Rising in Ireland, and give you a little bit of taste there if you were. And it's Irish politics is very, very difficult topic. The Easter Rising on happened in April 100 years ago. It was quite an affair. It was really kind of a bungled little event. The England made a big mistake when they quickly and mercilessly executed a lot of the people involved. And a lot of them were just poets and artists and kind of academic types, really, who went out that day to try to bring freedom to Ireland and that. And a lot of people didn't like it because it was in the middle of World War One. Keep in mind, and there were Irish guys signed up with the English army to go fight the enemy and that, and a lot of people thought that was just bad timing. But because of that blunder by England to, I think, execute all these men shortly after the failed rising there in Dublin, you know, it kind of it turned public sentiment, really, And it started just going, started unraveling where, you know, that they got their part of their independence, I guess you would say. For a lot of people say that they didn't get Northern Ireland, and they don't really have it to this day. But that letter really, you know, split the two groups down and put the country into civil war. And that was Ron Kavanaugh who was telling you some of that story. And that's from his multi-CD offering called Irish Ways. It's a story of Ireland in song, music, and poetry. So you probably hear a lot of tributes, you know, throughout the year. There's a lot of things going on in Ireland. There's a lot of things going on here in the States. One of the things that's happened here in Denver on April 24th, which is the exact day anniversary, April 24th. It's happened in Denver. The Ancient Order of Hibernians is putting on a celebration, music, dance, and, you know, culture of Ireland. But they'll be doing, you know, some readings of the proclamation that was read on April 24th, 100 years ago, by the rebels. And you know, have guests, some guest speakers, you know, historical speakers. And it'll be entertainers, it'll be dancers, and food there and all that. So that's April 24th. You want more, go up to the Celtic Connection, pick up the paper, or go up to CelticConnection.com. It's up there. And let's see. Well, I'm going to continue the theme just for a little while longer with Celtic Women. They have a new CD out, and they do a tribute song in there, Oro Sé de Bahawalia. And so, and then I have some more new music from Charlie Lennon, who has a whole suite in honor of the heroes of 1916. We won't play the whole thing, but just you know, a little taste, okay? We'll do that, and we'll get back to you, and then we'll start mixing it up.
Schachten grind away like a des mille kashkir, trek voor het van herhalen. Oroche de la voile, oroche de la voile, oroche de la voile, en lische hakken taurin. Oroche de la voile, oroche de la voile, oroche de la voile, en lische hakken taurin. Oroche de la voile, oroche de la voile, oroche de la voile.
Oh, a hungry feelin' came o'er me stealin', and the mice were squealin' in my prison cell. And the old triangle went jingle and jangle all along the banks of the Royal Canal. To begin the morning, the screw was ballin', "Get up, ye bowsy, and clean up your cell." And the old triangle went jingle and jangle all along the banks of the Royal Canal. Now the screw was peepin' as the lag lay sleepin', dreaming about his girdle cell. And the old triangle went jingle and jangle all along the banks of the Royal Canal. Up in the female prison there are 75 women, and among them now I wish I did dwell. Then that old triangle could go jingle and jangle all along the banks of the Royal Canal. All along the banks of the Royal Canal.
Well, there you go. Had the that was the Dubliners finishing up our little theme there of the rising and the Civil War and the little bit of the Troubles, you know, all that. So that was called The Old Triangle, written by the lyrics anyways, about Brendan Behan, Irish poet and all-around troublemaker from way back when. And prior to that, we had a new CD. You know, it's a tribute to a suite in honor of the heroes of 1916. It's the traditional the fiddle player Charlie Lennon, but he's accompanied by Ronan Brown and Jim Higgins, you know, so other trad people, along with the RT Contemple String Quartet in that. So it's kind of cool. That was one of the songs, the more kind of happy song there, was Support from America, which America, a lot of the Irish came over recruiting, and actually Irish people here were recruiting, they're raising funds, I suppose would be a better way to put it, over here, before the rising and after the rising. And so that's kind of dedicated to all those efforts over the years. And then the second tune was A Call to Freedom. And again, that was Charlie Lennon off of his new album, A Terrible Beauty. And of course, we started a set with Celtic Women, who on their album Destiny, that's Oro Shiv Dabahawalia, and that was their tribute to 1916, the Easter Rising. And, by the way, the Celtic Women are coming into Denver They'll be in Denver at the Downtown Performing Arts Center. They'll be down there in May. And I'm looking for the dates, but, you know, I apologize, but sure, we'll get them to you sooner than later, hopefully. And they, of course, always put on a great show. And this is a new tour and a new show. It's the same title as their new CD. It's called Destiny. All right, then. Let's see. I mentioned the Ancient Order of Hibernians and their little concert and gathering April 14th for the Easter Rising at Knights of Columbus in Denver. Doors open at 4:30. A lot of things going on. There's a dinner. There's music. There's historic speakers or historical speakers. That's April 24th. And then, actually, the day before, there's a pretty good party up in Estes Park. This is held by, you know, Long's Peak Scottish and Irish Highland Festival. You know the folks. They put on a great big bash in September up there over a period of about 4 days. And they're celebrating their 40th year here in 2016. And so they're going to have a spring concert April 23rd up there. It's kind of like all day, you know, kind of pick what you want to do. Starts like 11 p.m. and goes into the evening. They're going to have, Ashley McIsaac is going to be there, Young Dubliners, the Tannehill Weavers, and comedian Bob Strombert will be there, and some others as well. So it should be a blast. If you wanna go see that, want some more information, you can go to scottfest.com. You can get tickets up there, scottfest.com, or you can give them a shout at 08. Let me repeat that. 970-586-6308. That's going to be a big bash. Yeah, I think I might just head up there April 23rd. Also, Spirit of Ireland. It's a local, put on by a local dance company here, but it's April 30th. And it's at Englewood High School. It's called Spirit of Ireland 2016. And so, you know, be kind of, you know, if you enjoy like River Dance and Lord of the Dance and, you know, Dangerous Games and the like, you know, you're probably gonna do just great there. If you want some more information on that, you can call 303-750-3510. That's 303-750-3510. And, oh, speaking of Tannehill Weavers, they're also going to be down in La Vida, if you're going to be down there they're going to be down there on the 24th. So the day after, they're up in Estes Park with all those other great bands. They're going to be down in La Vida, down at the La Vida Inn. It's a fundraiser for the Spanish Peaks Celtic Festival. Man, I just get it kind of like a rush even when I just say that. The Spanish Peaks Celtic Festival is just a very special little gathering, and I hope you can make it down there this year, because let me tell you, I should have a drum roll right now because I'm going to make an announcement here on KGNU that hasn't been announced yet. Not in the Celtic Connection, not on Facebook, not on the band's website, not on Spanish Peaks. But Altan has just been confirmed for Spanish Peaks. So, you know, not only do they go down there, give a fantastic concert, of course, they will be doing workshops and and talks and hanging, and who knows, you know how it is if you go down there. This is just a special thing. It's really as much as a kind of a almost a school, and actually in Ireland they call like something like a Willie Clancy school or like Alton school to Frankie Kennedy school, or the up in Tubbacory. You know, they have these gatherings and just this music, concerts, workshops, dancing, singing, storytelling, all that. Well, we have a mini slice of that every September down in Spanish Peaks. And if you can make it down there, I think you'll have a real enjoyable time. It's a gorgeous area and the people are great. So go up there and check out... Check out their website. It's CelticMusicFest.com, or just Google Spanish Peaks Celtic Music, and that'll get you to Facebook and all that stuff. All right. Well, speaking of Alton, let's start out with a little bit of Alton and see where we go from there.
Oh, all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? Oh, the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blue.
There you go, Town and Hill Weavers. Be in town again. I'm on the 23rd at Podestas Park doing the big 40th celebration concert with all kinds of fun stuff. Ashley McIsaac, Young Dubliners, and all kinds of other folks. You've got, prior to that, you got the McPeaks. Will You Go, Lassie Go? And then you had Altan up there, a couple, a song and a tune from Altan. Of course, they will be down at Spanish Peak Celtic Music Festival in September. That's the last full weekend in September they'll be down there. So this is Pat. I'm just going to say goodnight to you after I'm gonna go out with Doogie McLean here. And up right after will be EC with Musica Mundi. So thanks again, folks, for listening to us. We're on every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. That's Schulte Gale. And you have a great evening.
Teach them how the arrow flies, how to smell the beast upon the wind, and run with Mother Nature's loving lies. Place with them the knowledge of the far and of the near. Lead them through the waiting storms that will never, ever clear. Oh, you need that rite of passage before you can continue on. That brave self-understanding you can lean your dreams upon. You may want for children, you may crave for man and wife, but you need that rite of passage to the summer of your life. Show the children to the masters, put the tools into their hands. Show them how to work the grain and how to hold the ever-moving sand. Place with them the knowledge, what is wrong and what is right. The longest, darkest night. Oh, you need that rite of passage before you can continue on. That brave self-understanding you can lean your dreams upon. You may want for children, you may crave for man and wife, but you need that rite of passage to the summer of your life. It's a sad, deluded vision, this creature of our time. Body now is broken, and its smile it rarely has the chance to shine. It stands so high and mighty with its never-ending needs, while somewhere in the beating heart the earth it vainly. Oh, you need that rite of passage before you can continue on. That brave self-understanding you can lean your dreams upon. And you may want for children, you may crave for man and wife, but you need that rite of passage to the summer of your life. Mm-hmm.
A very good evening to you, and welcome to Musica Mundi here on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Nederland. Online, you can check us out at kgnu.org. And I'm EC, happy to have you here, and I'm not alone this evening. Many evenings, it's just me. Tonight, I've got three charming gentlemen, Dan, Marcio, and Dan, all here to talk about, well, they're all somewhat involved with Brazil Fest. This is not Brazil Fest. What is it? Dan, tell us.
What is it?
Okay. I love this. I can just say, Dan, tell us.
This is Dan Fairchild, and I'm part of Dan and Diane's concerts, and we've done house concerts for several years, and I know, Elaine, you've been to a couple, and we are working with, it is in fact the Brazil Fest people, and Marcio will talk about them a little bit, but this is an artist, a guitarist named Yamandu Costa, and Yamandu is a nickname, and I think it's a great nickname because I think it's kind of easy to remember, it's catchy. But he's a truly brilliant guitarist. He plays a 7-string guitar, meaning it has an extra bass string. In Brazil, in some ways, can be sort of a completely different instrument than a 6-string, which is the standard. And these are classical guitars, basically. Because historically, the 7-string has played different roles in the music. However, Yamandu will do just about anything on the instrument, and if you've heard him, yeah, I know we'll be listening to some tracks. I consider him to be, you know, absolutely upper echelon guitarist, one of the greatest, certainly in Brazil and in the world. So we're very excited, and Marcio reached out. We had talked about it as kind of a dream, like almost a joke. Well, let's see who's next, because they brought some great artists. And we kind of almost as a joke, like, yeah, I'm gonna do, ha-ha. Well, that's how Marcio is. He calls the agent, and then he lets us know, oh, I think we can get Yamandu. So it went it went from there. We're very excited about it. Maybe I should turn it over to somebody.
Yeah, Marcio, what does Yamandu mean if it's a nickname?
Well, it's funny that I'm not sure if exactly a nickname, but it's a name that comes from the Tupi-Guarani, which is a native language in Brazil, and means the precursor of the waters of the world.
Ooh,
so it nice. Has some poetic meaning. I'm not sure if it's his, you know, his given name or he adopted that name, but it's, yeah.
Ah. Right.
And that's a wonderful description, that water flowing for his music, because I was listening to a performance, I think you'd sent me a link to, and the way the notes just flow, they come. I mean, we're not talking a trickling stream here. We're talking rapids. And yet he plays from his heart with this dedication. It's just incredible what I hear on the instrument. And as, you know, Dan F. mentioned, the 7-string, I mean, it's kind of a different beast than the 6-string. But in Brazil, we hear the 7-string guitar quite a lot.
Yes, in Brazil, the 7-string is an instrument that's very common in the choro band. It's more like doing counterpoints, and it's kind of an accompanying instrument. But since, like, Brazil has had a lot of